Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour, and thank you for joining us. My dad, Pastor Salem, believed in the transforming power of God's Word, truth that speaks to the heart and changes lives. Today, we begin the first message in a special 8-part series on the great I Am statements of Jesus Christ. It's our prayer that as you listen, you'll be encouraged, strengthened in your faith, and draw closer to the Lord. We invite you to join us each week as we continue this meaningful journey together. We are grateful for the many notes we receive from you. From Oregon, we recently heard, "I am thankful to our Lord that by His Spirit, I was led to tune in to your program over 6 years ago." Pastor Salem's sermons are as timely as ever, giving proof to his conviction that when you preach from the Bible, you preach with authority. And with that same assurance in the authority and power of God's Word, let's turn now to today's message. Here's my dad with the first in his series, The Bread of Life. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem. I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And today we're going to start a series of sermons. And so maybe you could call your friends, a series of 8 sermons on the great I Ams of Jesus Christ. I'm the bread, I'm the life, I'm the door, and so on. And maybe they'd like to hear the whole series, 8 sermons during July and August. So just maybe give them a ring. So we're looking at Psalm 90, beginning with the 8th verse, where the psalmist writes, "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And it let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." Heavenly Father, we're glad all our days. Every day we have, we are glad because we have you. You are our God and you love us and we have a personal relationship with you and we are glad. Lord, bless us in this service today. Those who don't know you, who have never opened their heart to you, may this be the day their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and they make that prayer, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Christ's sake." They're just asking them you to come into their heart. So this is your service. Bless and help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jan's going to sing a song I know you'll love. "Jesus is all the world to me." God bless you, Jan.
Joy.
To that, Jesus is my friend. Jesus is our friend, but we can say he is my friend. And he loves us, and he said he would never leave us or forsake us. And when we get off of balance, we get off of the straight and narrow way, he talks to us by his Holy Spirit. Maybe sometimes he has to tap us a little bit. Sometimes he has to really work with us. But he's there, and he loves us. And he never will leave us or forsake us. And I know there's been times when I've been out of his will, but I've never been out of his care. Jesus, that wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Well, we're looking at some letters today. Oh, we get so many nice letters. I've got some today that are just going to just thrill you. And there's some that are going to just touch your heart. Now, the first one, it's going to touch your heart and you're going to pray. This person writes, the wife writes, my husband had a massive stroke a year ago. He farmed and he loved it. He had a small trucking company. He loved working on the farm and loved helping people and loves God. This has definitely made us grow closer to the Lord. It's been very hard. He's been suffering with a headache for almost a whole year since he put his flat back on his skull. I've had him to doctor after doctor. Please pray for him. Thank you. We love you. And I just had a special feeling for this dear brother that if all of us would pray for him, that God will raise him up and give him health and strength. Just do that. You know, prayer makes a difference. And when a lot of God's people pray together, it moves the hand of God. So let's just pray for this family. And that he's just lifted up and restored to health. And then when that time comes, when she writes back and says he's doing fine, we'll give thanks to the Lord. But we always want the Lord's will to be done. Thy will be done. And so that's what we're praying. Here's Ken Moore, North Dakota. Says, we greatly enjoy your services. We're happy to hear you don't plan to retire. Retirement isn't good for everyone. Many who retire seem to lose interest in everything. Pastor, keep on as long as you can, and we'll be watching and praying for you. God bless. Well, but you know, I preached 75 years, and I always preach, don't retire. Now, some have to retire. Don't write in and say, well, you have a stroke, and you can't move either leg, and you... We know that, God bless you. But some of you are able-bodied, and you could be doing a lot to help the Lord and to help people who are in trouble and writing letters for people and things like that. Just doing the Lord's work. And so, no, we're not. You know, this retirement isn't in the Bible. It isn't. We had the priests used to retire, I think, age 40. But they stayed on and they helped the young priests. No such thing as retirement. You know what God's retire? Let me read a scripture here. Genesis 3, verse 19. God told Adam, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until you're 65, and then you go and sit around and bother people. Genesis 3, 19. Listen, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. You work until you go back to the ground, Buster. And when you don't, that's what God says. You shall eat bread until you're to the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, dust thou art, unto dust thou shalt return. You say, well, where did you? I thought retirement was in the Bible. Well, read your Bible. It isn't there. Well, where do we get retirement then? You know where we got retirement? We got it from the politicians. That ought to tell you something. Good grief. And so, yes, I'm going to go. I'll go as long as I can go. And when I can't go anymore, I'll crawl. But don't just, God gives you breath. It's for a reason. And there's what did I get? Some little lady wrote and says, there's a cause for your pulse or something like that. That is, if you got a pulse, there's a job for you to do. That's why you're alive. That's not the sermon. Don't hang up yet. Rapid City, South Dakota. I love this. This is a beautiful letter. Greetings and God's blessings to you and yours. I've watched you since I was 9 years old with my mom, grandpa, and grandma, who now dwell with the Lord. Since God blessed me with a new friend and brethren who is a big help, I've lived with seizures 39 years. For that reason, though, he knows how to talk to me and help me when I seize in public and keep out of trouble with them. Anyway, Pastor Salem, thank you for all you do for us and keep up the great work. God bless you. I think that's one of the most beautiful letters I've got for a long time. This little boy, 9 years old, with his grandma and his grandpa. He's still listening. That's over 40 years we've been on. He's had these seizures for 39 years. And so I'm just praying that God just helps him. And maybe God will heal him. Maybe he won't. You know, if Paul had a thorn in the flesh, God didn't heal it. God doesn't heal everybody. And so what we do is we ask for the healing. And if God doesn't do it, we praise him and go on. I'd like to get rid of this one leg here and get my leg straightened out. I have a wheel. I've got a walker. Well, boy, I'm proud of that walker. I just charge all around, and boy, people open doors for me, and they're nice to me, and they're handy to me, and they're good to me. And people I even owe money to say, God bless you. So I wouldn't give up that walker for anything. Here's Henderson, Nevada. We listen to your program all the time when you are on TV. We enjoy you so much. We are right on target about Jesus. He is so wonderful. God bless you always and remember my son who lives with me in your prayers. I'm 9 years of age. We love Jesus very much. We love you and your ministry. We'd like two more of the heart of a shepherd with love and through Jesus. And The Heart of a Shepherd is a 52-minute film, and it's an evangelistic film. And we have people that watch it and pray to receive Jesus all alone, and because we'll tell you how to pray and everything. And so you write to us. I'll get your pencil and paper. I'll give them just a minute or two here. And we send it on a free will offering basis. And if you don't have any money, you send it, and we'll write, and we'll send it free. And somebody else will pick it up. At least that's the way it's been working. And we just have all we do need enough to carry on. So praise the Lord and keep preaching and carrying on the word. And we're doing it because you're helping us. Now, here's a letter that I like. It's from Alvarado, Minnesota. He says, I recommend you keep that old sheep herder healthy and well. None finer to present the wonderful story of Jesus and his love for us. Praise the Lord. Thank you all. Well, I want to tell you, I am at heart a sheep herder. My dad had sheep. He wouldn't have cattle on the place. He had one cow who tried to milk, and that was a horrible ordeal. But we've always had sheep. And so I used to herd sheep. And I want to tell you, they said, don't retire. No, we're not going to retire. That's because sheep herders are stubborn. And that's why sheep herders make such wonderful Christians. They're so stubborn, they won't backslide. So we're right in there. And I got two sheep herders. I hope I hear from more. Maybe we'll start a sheep herders union or something like that. We don't know. We just go as the Lord leads, and sometimes we guess we're out on our own. I don't know, but we'll worry about that later. Here's Florence, South Carolina. May the peace of God continue to bless us through your wonderful services, guiding us in the Spirit, easing our burdens, teaching us to focus in such a godly manner. I look forward to your messages every Sunday night. In Jesus' name, prayerfully. I look forward to your services. You know why she looks forward to our services? Because it's filled with the Bible. It's filled with God's word. People are saying, is there any word from God? Yes, there's word from God. It's in that holy book, the Bible. And that's what we live on, that Bible. And I wouldn't give an opinion on anything. I just quote the scriptures, take the Bible. And I tell the young pastors, preach the Bible, preach the word of God. Because when you preach the word of God, you can preach with authority. You can get up there and say, listen here, Buster, this is the way it is. And you quote that scripture, and maybe they fuss and get mad and Lord knows what, but you're on good, sound, solid rock when you use the word of God. One more. Let's see here. Sequim, Washington says, I just finished watching your program, and my heart is full, and both my mind and body feel at peace. I've been so lonely for so long, and today the Holy Spirit comforted me through your service. I not only hear your love for God and his children, but I can feel it. And I feel so blessed having found your service. I pray for you and your crew daily, and I pray for you, pray for me also. God bless you, and I love you in Christ. I pray for your crew daily. You know, if the whole world, you'd all pray, and if you'd pray for this ministry, pray for the Christian Worship Hour, and just pray that God will help us to know what to preach and how to preach it and what songs to sing. Our musicians, they'll come up and they'll say, I prayed about this. We don't appoint us, tell them what to sing. We just tell them, here's our theme. And you pick out something, and they ask for God's guidance. And so you pray for us. And if all the world would pray for us, oh, my gracious, what we could do for the Lord. So if you do that, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I want you to know that if you'd like to have this film about the heart of a shepherd, you just write on there, heart of a shepherd, or put film. And if you can send a gift, all right. If you can't, that's all right, too. We get from the prisons. People write from the prisons. And we can't send to the prisoner themselves, but we tell them, have your chaplain write to us. We'll send you. And we do. We send it to film. We send it to different prisons. We hear one prison, we hear from 14 different people, federal prison, and we're happy to do that. And so but I tell you, friends, it costs money to do that. We have to pay our bills just like anybody else. And so if you should say, now, Lord, is this ministry I should support? You want me to support this? He said, no, give it to somebody else. Well, then do it. But if he says, no, I want you to support them, then you say, how much should I give? And then he'll tell you, and you say, that much? And he said, you know, just do what the Lord leads. And we bet, and I'm going to tell you something, a little secret. We wanted everybody to know it's not a secret. And we are a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books. They audit our books every year. And they come, they have about 3-4 people, and they go through everything we have. I thank goodness they don't get into my sermons. I don't want them touching my sermons. But anything financial, they're checking it all out. So you write to us and you send that, and we'll check every bit of it. And then I wanted just to say a word to the people on the shortwave radio. We cover 95% of the world's population, shortwave radio. That is, we cover North Korea, South Korea, all of the places of persecuted church worship with us, many of them with shortwave radio. So you pray for us and you help us out and pray that God will have his will, his holy will done. So now I'm going to pray, and then Jan's going to play, and you give us the Lord leads, and everything will be just fine. Dear Jesus, thank you for these gifts in the Savior's name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're reading from John chapter 6 today, beginning with the 30th verse. And Jesus has been teaching that he is the Son of God, that he is God. And in this passage, some of the scribes and the Pharisees, they are really upset about that. And they're challenging Jesus. Show us a sign. So we're looking at John chapter 6, beginning with verse 30. And in our prayer today, we always pray for the persecuted church. And so we're going to pray for the church in Somalia. And that's the second to the most hard place in the world. The hardest place is North Korea. And Somalia is second on this list. We have 50 places where we pray. And so that's what we'll be doing today. So they said, therefore unto him, that is unto Jesus, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is which cometh down from above, and giveth light into the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall hunger, never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But he said I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. and that the Father giveth me, that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that is, of which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful passage of Scripture. The great I am the bread of life. And oh, how we need that living bread of life, else we perish. And so I just thank you, Lord. We all thank you that you're such a crying good God that you gave your Son the bread of life for all of us. So we're praying that the multitudes of people all over the world will pray and receive you into their life, because you so told us that you have to be born again. You have to receive him, and may many receive him today. Lord, we're praying for the persecuted church today in Somalia. And we just think about them and we think of their children, Lord, and how that you burn down their churches and tear down their homes. The enemy does these things. And the little children, some are scattered and some of the parents are put to death. Oh, dear God, we just pray that I know that you'll bless them and help them and give them a strength that they never had before. And I pray, Lord, that these people that do such horrible things will somehow hear the gospel and come to salvation, because you're not willing that any should perish. But, Lord, if they die in their sins, it's a Christless eternity. So, Lord, we just ask you now to use this service and bless your name through all we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And before I preach, Hank is going to sing God on the Mountain, and God bless you, Hank.
Thank you, Pastor. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in the valley. Oh, don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, but talk comes easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley of trial and temptation, for that's when faith is really put to the test. For the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. The God of the day is still God in the night.
Well, amen is right, Hank. God bless you. That, isn't that wonderful? The God of the mountain. He's the God of the mountain. He's a God in the valley. And he's God when everything breaks right, and he's God when everything goes wrong. He's God. Oh, I love to preach. I just can't get enough of it, because this God is so great, and there's nothing greater than God. Nothing even phases him. And in the second psalm, it talks about how the men rise up and they're going to rebel against God. And you know what it says? God laughs at them, laughs those puny little stinking men. If you're going to fight against God, wait till they meet God in his wrath, because there's a God of love and there's a God of wrath. And if you die in your sins, and I mean you have sins, oh, my dear God, I tremble for you. And so we're just such a wonderful God. And now before I preach, I think I forgot something. And that is, I want you to know about our little Bible study. And every month we mail it out. It's the new song. Maybe the fellas can get those up and address up there one more time. And it's called the new song. And this month we're going to have a study on the pastor's prayer for his people. And I want you to get that, what we're praying for. And then you write us, send it in free and postpaid, and we'll be glad to send it to you. But today we're starting a series of sermons, 8 sermons. And I just love these sermons because they're about the great power and might of God. And it's called the I Ams of God. And, Jesus gave us 8 I Ams. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, I am the vine. And of course, when he's talking about this, and he used this, I am, he's talking about God. That's God's name. You remember the story about Moses, and he's out with he's out there in the Midian desert. He's had his sheep out there for 40 years, taking care of these sheep. And then one day as he's out there, he sees a burning bush. And as it burns and burns and all the time, but it isn't consumed. And so he approaches this phenomenon, and as he comes near, he's told to take off his sandals because he's on holy ground. And then God tells him, Moses, I want you to go to Egypt, and I want you to bring out the people. And Moses had all kinds of excuses. He couldn't do this and he couldn't do that. He sounds like some of the Christians today. They're always finding excuses, and some of the excuses are so dumb that you wouldn't even want to write them down. And so Moses, here he is, and he's got all these excuses. And so it all ends up with God telling him to go. And so if a Pharaoh asks you who sent him, he is to reply. You tell them, who sent you? Say, I am sent me. I am sent me. And so God here gives his name. God names himself, I am that I am. This name signifies several things. It tells us that God is self-existent. That is, he has all power and all might within himself. And his power never diminishes. And it's always existent. And he never runs out of power and strength. And he can create all the creations. And he has all power and all might. And we can't say that, because we always have to have God's help, and we are limited in what we can do. And so this wonderful God with all of this power. So God declares, I am that I am, self-existent. And that means he's self-sufficient. He's all-sufficient. He's inexhaustible. And everything you can think about this God, he's all of this power and might. And he's talking to Moses now, and he wants Moses to go down and to face Pharaoh. Now, Moses knows all about Pharaoh because, remember, he spent 40 years in Egypt, see? And he's Pharaoh's adopted son, and he's had the best training in the whole world on how to be an Egyptian and how to carry out. He's going to be a Pharaoh someday, see? And so he knows when he goes to that castle, he knows the front door and the back door and the side door and everything. He doesn't have to stumble around looking for a way, see? But he's a little bit nervous because this Pharaoh has got a lot of power. And so we come to this great I am, you tell him. And Moses says, well, who will I tell sent me? I go to Pharaoh. And I says, God, he says, let my people go. And then they'll say, my God wants to do that. And they says, well, who is your God anyway? What's his name? And he says, his name is I am that I am. And Jesus, and God says, you just do that, see? And so he goes there. And this wonderful, great God, he has all power and all might. This wonderful, great, wonderful God is unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He's always the same. There's a hymn writer, Henry Lighty, and he put it just right. He writes in his hymn, change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide in me. And that's so this great God, Almighty thing, the great I am, never changes. And then he's faithful and true to all of his promises. He always keeps his word. There's something God can't do. He can't break his word. And so when he says something, he'll do that. And when he tells us something, I'm going to tell you what you can do. You put all your weight on it. You put all your lean upon it. Take it to the bank, like they say. It's good and solid. And so all of his might. So Israel had, they'd been raised, Israel knew all about this wonderful God. They'd been raised, and Moses knew all about God from beginning to end. And the great I am was God himself. It's the name of God. It's the name of deity is this great I am. And when Jesus uttered this eight I ams, listen to this. When people understood that God is a great I am is God. And when Moses says, I am, they know that he is identifying himself as God. And we have a lot of people say, oh, I think he was good and he was a prophet and he was the son of God, but just like we are when we accept Jesus, when we accept the Lord. But he is saying, I am God Almighty. And that stuck in their craw. And they didn't know what to do. And the people, they had a problem because not the regular people, the rank and file of people, they were the multitudes and they came and they listened. But those old leaders, that's where the problem was. And we maybe got some of our problems today because of our leaders. And they say, and so they were just hard to the core. And so then when they hear Jesus say, I am the bread of life. And they ask Jesus, what then givest thou for a sign? Show us a sign that you have that you're God, that you're Almighty, you can do miracles. Now, this is the most ridiculous thing they could have asked. It just showed how hard they were. You see, some people get so bitter and so hard and so set that they don't have a brain anymore. And they just talk out of their mouth. And here they're saying, show us a sign. Well, you know what had happened the day before? Jesus had fed 5,000 people, and they knew all about it. And they said, show us a sign. You see, they're just so set in it that they can't think. We have people like that today. They're so set in it, you can't reason with them. And they'll end up with their soul in hell is what'll happen. So they give up their true spirit. They can see just exactly they're showing themselves because they can't even think right. And so then they talk about it, and they say, and they ask, and they tell Jesus, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. That's in our lesson today, verse 31. He gave them heaven. And this man Moses, and God answers them right away. And he straightens them out, and he says, Moses didn't do that. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, it is not Moses that gave you the bread out of heaven, but he's saying, but my Father in heaven, it came from God. So he straightened that out right away and kept the record straight. It came from God. And so while he tells them Moses didn't give it to them, my Father did give it to them. And I and my Father are one. And then they replied, oh, well, then if that's all that wonderful, give us this bread. They think Jesus is saying that he can just give them bread for all their life like in the days of Moses. They're totally materialistic, and that's the thing that Jesus is going to deal with here. They are so materialistically minded that they can't get the spiritual level to it, and they can't see what this is really typifying and talking about. And so then they talk about, and they says, give us this bread. Man is always the same because human nature is the same. Billy Graham says that. I read about him, how that he travels all over the world. And they says, well, how can you deal with all the different cultures and everything? And he says that human nature is the same wherever you go. They have their cultures, and you kind of watch for that. But basically, they're all the same. And they always are, and so the human nature is the same. And they're always concerned with the material things. It's always the things that they can touch and taste and eat, the thing that satisfy their lusts. That's the human on the physical human level. And Jesus is talking about the spiritual realm when he talks about the bread of heaven. And when he has the spiritual, then out comes the moral and out comes the material. Listen to them. Lord, evermore give us this bread. That is, start feeding us just as you did yesterday. We have that free bread. We've got a ticket here. We got a credit card that we can eat for all times. And so Jesus, has to deal with these people. And he's not just talking about the level, the material. He's talking about the spiritual, a whole different world. And so then Jesus gave him the first of the great I Ams. That all is taking place. And then this is where the I Ams comes, the first one. Verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall not hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I wish I knew how to tell you. I wish I could. Jesus here is telling them, these people, not to be so concerned with the material things, to set above the dust on which they walk, to think about something else, that to get beyond the level of the material where they can put their hand on to taste and feel and so on. Man doesn't live, Jesus says, man doesn't live by bread alone. There's something else here in the spiritual realm that they have to see. There is no life. There is more to life than just eating and drink. Jesus is saying you cannot get the deepest necessities of life through material things. And that's the way why the rich young ruler walked away and left him, because he just couldn't make that transition. Everything is his spirit, everything is material, and he's going to talk about the things spiritual, and so that's all he can live for is the material. And that's why the rich are not happy, and many of them commit suicide. They have everything. They have the wonderful Trinity. They have youth, and they have popularity, and they have wealth. That's the unholy Trinity. And Hollywood and many people have that, and they are not happy. And they never will be happy. They are empty. The plaudits of the crowd is going to go away, and that won't be there anymore. That fame isn't going to be there. And so they cannot minister to the deepest necessities, because they're always stuck on the material things. And that's what Jesus is going to deal with them. And Jesus tells them here is the real bread. And the real bread, the material, the spiritual bread, comes from heaven. Doesn't come from earth, doesn't come from the oven. It comes from heaven. It is sent by God, the spiritual food, the spiritual bread. It's sent by God. It will satisfy your material needs, but more than that, it will satisfy your spiritual needs. And that's what you're searching for. And because it satisfies your spiritual needs, your deepest needs, then you're going to be satisfied with spiritual and physical and all of the rest forever. When you have the things of God, and it's the things of God. But if you have the material bread that comes down from heaven, you will satisfy the deepest, innermost being, feelings of your being. And when we all have that, because we created that, there's something missing, there's something gone, and we'll never be full and never be satisfied and never be complete until we have Christ and until we have Jesus, until we have the spiritual. That's what he's working on, and that's what Jesus is saying here. He says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. And this is the Father's will who hath sent me, that of all that he hath given me, I would lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. You see that? Raise it up at the last day. That simply means that when you eat this bread of heaven, Jesus Christ, you'll not only have physical life alone, but you'll have spiritual, eternal life. But it's all in having Jesus Christ. He says, eat your physical bread, maybe for 40 years as you ate the manna, but at the end you're going to be dead physically and spiritually, and you'll have nothing. But eat that bread that Jesus came, who came down from heaven, the bread of life who came down from heaven. When you have that, you have eternal life, and it is going to result, Jesus says, in that day of the resurrection. It's going to result in that day when we are raised up and we have age-abiding life. We have eternal life. That's what Jesus, it's breathtaking, it's thrilling, and only God, Jesus saying, if you are here today and you're hungry and you're longing for something, if you're today unsatisfied and unfulfilled and you're wishing you could have something to fill that void, well, it is here and it is right here. If you would just open your heart to Jesus Christ and take the bread of life and live, that's what he is telling us in this. First, I am the bread of life. Jesus tells us, don't work for the meat that vanishes and goes away. Take instead, come to Christ and have that spiritual food, the bread of heaven. And that bread will satisfy your deepest need. And that will take care of your deepest desires. And you will say that, you know, like Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And so you can find happiness. It doesn't mean you're going to find riches. It doesn't mean that you're always going to get a parking place just in front of the grocery store wherever you're going. It doesn't mean that you're going to have all of the material things. You may have nothing, as St. Paul had nothing. And what did Jesus do? He didn't have a place to lay his head. They said, so let us... Jesus, let's go to your home. We want to go and abide in your home. And he said, the Son of Man hath not a place to lay his head. He doesn't have, the birds have nests and their trees and all of the rest. But Jesus has nothing. And so some of the poorest people are the happiest people. And some of the richest people are the saddest people. And it's because they leave out that spiritual dimension. I'm the bread of life, he says. Search where you will. Go where you want. Do what you can. Live high, wide, and handsome. Spend money in like water. Miser it up in having glittering stacks of money. Have stocks and bonds you can't count, hardly count at all. You're never going to have your hunger satisfied, and you're never going to have your thirst quenched until you have Jesus Christ, the bread of life. That's what he's saying. The answer to our longing heart lies in Jesus Christ and him alone. And until and unless you have Jesus, that wonderful Jesus, you'll never have eternal life. You'll never have eternal joy. And so let me say this, there's only one bread of heaven. After this saying of Jesus, we are told the multitudes forsook him. He talks about how that it should be like it. How that should be the meat and the blood and all. It should that, he takes that and he says in a literal sense, it has to be a part of your being. And so after Jesus gives this great message and all, they left him. Multitudes left him. Over the centuries, Jesus has lost a lot of disciples. Some have misunderstood him. Some of the battles were too fierce. Some people got their little feelings hurt. Some people didn't get their way in church, and they're lost. And so they leave. And I've heard that over my ministry 1,000 times, the dropouts, because some little thing didn't bother them. And so Jesus is saying to his disciples, and he's saying it to you right today, will ye also be go away? To that query, Peter asked a question. Jesus said to them, will you all go away? And Peter said a question. Peter answered it with a question that never can be answered. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? If we leave you, to whom shall we go? thou hast the words of eternal life. And he's telling them that Peter, if he didn't understand it at all, he didn't know exactly all the spiritual ramifications, he hadn't picked it up, but he knew one thing. He knew that if he didn't have Jesus, where would he go? There was no place to go. And you can go where you want. You can leave where you want. If you turn your back on Jesus, I want to ask you this. If you turn on your back on Jesus, and you go your own way, then where are you going to go? Who else is there to satisfy your deepest needs in life? Who is there who can give you eternal life? Who is there can help you when you have the difficult times and the terrible times? Who's going to be there to help you when you come to die and breathe your last? Who's going to come and help you when you're at your wit's end? That question has never been answered because there is no place to go. There's nowhere else to go. There is only one place to go. If you leave Christ, the bread of life, you will never find satisfaction. You will never know the way. You'll never find the way. Clarence McCartney writes an article that I want to read. It is so beautiful. He says, I may be speaking to some who have followed Christ, but are now tempted to turn away from him. Let me say to you, before you abandon Christ and turn from him, be sure you have someone else to take his place. You may have had doubts sown in your mind by some book that you have read, by some address you have heard, by some disloyal utterance or act of a professed follower of Christ, or some statement by a proud scholar or scientist. But before you leave Christ, ask yourself Peter's question, Lord, to whom, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Perhaps I'm speaking to some who have not yet followed Christ. You've not taken him as King and Redeemer and Savior and Lord. If so, whom will you follow? If you don't come to Christ, then what? What I want to know is, to whom will you go? No doubt I speak to one who has once followed Christ and then forsook him. And to you I say, remember Peter's experience. He followed and then he forsook Christ, but he came back. And he came back with tears of repentance. He tried to answer his own question and he failed. No man can answer it, and there's no other place to go. Oh, my friend, listen to me. This wonderful bread of life has come to you today, and you can take that by simple faith in Jesus Christ, by opening your heart to him, and you say, I don't know how to make that transition. I can't get it straight in my mind. You let the Holy Spirit help you. You let the Holy Spirit, and you let the Son of God dwelling in your heart help you, and you come to Jesus, and you simply, Jesus says, him that cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out. And he says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. If you receive Jesus, you may not understand every word, but you'll have that feeling. You'll just know it's there. And so you need to come to Jesus. And you simply come to Jesus by coming to him and telling him you're a sinner and you're sorry for your sins. And you ask him to come into your heart and take away your sins. You tell him you're sorry, take away your sins, and you promise to follow him. You know, Jesus taught repentance. Repentance means turning. You turn from your evil ways, your wicked ways, and you'll know what they are. The Holy Spirit will show you. And so you say to Jesus, please come into my heart, take away my sins, and I'll follow you the best I can. I'll turn from my evil ways. And thank you, Jesus. And if you do that, my friends, I'm going to tell you something. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're a part of the body of Christ. You're going to be in heaven. And nobody will ever stop you because you're a child of God. And God will never have any of his children in hell. They'll all be with him in heaven. So you make that prayer. And if you made that prayer, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'll send you literature wherever you are in the world. We'll send you literature. And you can get to our website and your christianworshiphour.com, and you can get information there. And then you just walk with Jesus the best way you can. And then if you want to help us in the work, because we have to have help, we got to pay our way like anybody else, you send a gift. Whatever God lays on your heart, ask Him first. And you can be sure that it's carefully used, because we're a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And they audit our books every year. And in the contract, it says they can walk in that door any time of the day or night and go into our books. Everything's on the level. Once again, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now our prayer, dear Jesus, thank you for this time we've had. Thank you for the multitudes that have opened their heart to you. Pray for those on beds of sickness, Lord, those who are lonely, those who are shut in. Pray for the young people, Lord, as they face so many temptations, and yet they can be victorious over them. Pray for the little children, Lord, the little children, especially in the persecuted countries. But little children in all of the countries are many times neglected. Help them to put their little hearts and ask them to come into their life. I was 10 years old. They can know exactly what they're doing. And may all of it be done to your honor and glory. And so, dear Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're happy to be with you today. And let me give that one more time for our shortwave people. Box Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And remember this, God loves you. God so loved the world, that's everybody in the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Christian Worship Hour loves you. Every member of this team, everybody who sings and works and makes it go, all the secretarial help praying for you because they love you. And I want you to know something else, friends. I love you too. And I just would do anything if I could just get you to see. You've got to do it. Nobody can do it for you. You've got to ask Jesus into your heart. Oh, do that. And we'll spend eternity together. Next week, we're going to look at another great I Am of Christ. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view pastors' devotionals. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.